Good morning. Today is Monday, January the 9th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Office of Ed, Superintendent of Schools, and host to a regional convention this weekend, Gary
yes.
Eagles.
Hey, happy to be here, Brian. Sorry to hear you're a little bit under the weather.
Well, everybody's hearing it now.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, you know, talk about being under the weather. In addition to everyone being under some pretty severe storms these last few days, we've had a few bugs going around.
Yeah.
Starting off with 2017, so.
Yeehaw.
Get it out of the way early on.
Oh, that's what I'm hoping. Then it won't come back, right?
That's right.
Sure, you betcha. Our quote this morning comes from Henry Miller. The urge is to make everything profound. What nonsense.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So, this weekend was kind of an interesting little demarcation point for you, but before we get there, has there been any update in your in the search for your replacement?
Yes. Well, the Board of Education decided to advertise far and wide and did so. I understand there were 9 or 10 applicants that applied by the deadline, which was last Wednesday. This next Wednesday at the Humboldt County Board of Education's regular meeting, the names of the candidates will be revealed. The Board of Education will select the individuals they wish to interview, and we'll be publicizing that interview schedule on the webpage for anyone interested to come and experience that process.
Why is this such a unique process? I mean, anytime you hear anything about personnel-related anything, it's always cloak and dagger and behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, it usually is. Now, if this were a district superintendency, Brian, that's exactly what would happen. There'd be applications. It wouldn't be necessarily widely known who applied. They would conduct interviews behind the scenes. And until a decision is rendered, things would be kept fairly quiet. Unlike a district superintendent, when somebody in my situation who is in an elected position vacates the position early before the end of the term, the appointing body has to go through the process very open and transparent to the public because essentially in this case, the County Board of Education is taking the place of the electorate. And so everything will be wide open. All the interviews will be open, and the deliberations about the various candidates will also be open.
Is the range of questions broader, narrower, because of the public aspect of it?
Well, I think what you're going to find, and the board has actually, I understand, discussed this, is that it will be a much more in-depth interview process than a district superintendency. So where you might have a first-round interview of 45, 50 minutes, this one, I understand, will be more like an hour, hour and a half, just the first round, and then there'll be a second, and who knows, maybe even a third. That'll be up to the board to decide.
That's a long day.
I imagine if they interview, even half the candidates, it will take 2 days, actually, to go through the process.
Not an obligation to interview each and every one?
No.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Gary Eagles from the County Office of Education. Gary, this weekend you guys have played host and coordinator and to something I think, well, it was a more significant event than what a lot of us were aware of. Anybody driving by sensed that something was going on because they were parked out to Myrtle.
Yes, they were. As a matter of fact, they filled the Red Lion parking lot, and I'd like to thank the Red Lion. We offered a shuttle for the additional parking there between Red Lion. In fact, they provided one of their shuttle vans, and then we had one to go back and forth to the various venue events. No, this was our second annual, we call it the Region 1 STEAM Conference. STEAM being focused on integrated learning, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. And I have to say, Stacy Young, the coordinator of the conference and the planning committee, put together just simply a brilliant agenda. In fact, Brian, I'm very proud to say that not only did we have people from throughout this nation as presenters, I mean, we had a keynote presenter from Cleveland, one from Los Angeles. We had workshop presenters from Maryland and New Mexico and San Luis Obispo. We had attendees from all four parts of the compass as well, who attended hundreds of miles, if not thousands, because they attended from Utah, they attended from Oregon. In fact, we had a group of 10 or 11 people from one brand new school that will be opening in the fall from Beaverton, Oregon, come down to this event. And I had an opportunity to speak to the principal. She said this is the best thing that they could have attended in terms of the depth and breadth of conversations. So it was wonderful, exciting to be a part of it and to listen to some of the presentations. A lot of buzz, a lot of energy. You know you hit the right chord for educators when people are nonstop talking about and excited about the content.
Yeah, you can tell that in the hallway.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, one of the best things about attending conferences in person is that opportunity not only to go to listen to, you know, experts in the workshop presentations, but also as that sparks some innovative ideas and you're sharing them, as you say, walking down the halls and over lunch and after dinner. And then following this event, which ended at 4 o'clock on Saturday, for the next 4 hours, we had a makers event, which was attended by a number of these participants, plus community members and kids at the Humboldt County Office of Education. That's been a new program that's just launched now since October. Once a month, we offer an opportunity for extended hours at our Educational Resource Center library, where educators can come in and work on materials, but it's also geared for parents and their children, and we call it the Family Maker Night. More information can be had on that on our website.
So those are the kids that are participating in?
Well, those are the kids and parents who want to have hands-on learning experiences, and yes, it is related to this whole idea of having kids engaged in hands-on learning that where they're learning science and engineering principles and they're applying mathematics and creative arts. And then they're sitting back and reflecting upon those particular activities. So, yeah, it's a movement that I think is taking making steam.
Oh, I thought you were going to say gaining. Yeah. So as you see this starting to develop, is this going to be one of the things you miss?
Absolutely. You know, I have had a thoroughly enjoyable career in education since 1971 when I first started as an instructional aide in Stockton Unified. And I can't tell you over the years how much joy working in education has brought me, to particularly when you find something that thoroughly engages students in their learning and they just go beyond anyone's expectations. They just run with it. And that's what it's all about, is finding those right connections with kids. And Making STEAM is one of the efforts. It's much like the hydroponics program we talked about and just recently in a prior talk shop. The kids are finding those educational experiences, those real-life applied learning experiences, and they are just running with it. And it's all about stimulating creativity and innovation and entrepreneurship really preparing kids for the future in this century.
Is this flexible enough to be able to adjust as conditions warrant?
Yes. And this is applied not only just in elementary, but also secondary schools. And again, every child can find their niche in these kinds of activities because of the philosophy, the way they're based. Plus, you're not only teaching subject matter, you're teaching it in context, helping kids understand the why of what they're learning. You know, how many times have I heard students say, you know, why am I taking this? I'll never do anything with it. No, we are connecting the dots for kids today.
The kids aren't connecting their own dots?
That's how it's happening.
Ah, I thought I'd trip you up.
We're giving them opportunities in order to find themselves in that process and through the guided learning that's being offered.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Eagles from the Humboldt County Office of Ed. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Gary, this time of the year is typically kind of like the mid-year correction, if you will, out of the state. Are you hearing anything about how this year is going or how next year looks?
Well, yes. We have heard a little bit, but I'll tell you what, some of the buzz is still centered around not as much in Sacramento, but what's happening in Washington and how those changes are going to affect Sacramento and, of course, the rest of California. The governor has until January 10th, obviously today, in order to roll out the budget proposal for the following fiscal year. Interestingly enough, over Governor Brown's tenure, the second time around, he has had ahead of the game. He has produced those budget proposals in most years before the 10th. What we are observing now is he's taking until the last minute, so that'll be released sometime today. I'm not sure whether he's got a press conference or whether he'll just quietly release it. But, you know, we have a supermajority now in the state legislature of Democrats. Normally speaking, we'd see a lot of bills being introduced to promote health and welfare programs and expanded social services supports, as well as supports for education. And we have not seen the plethora of proposals that you would normally have expected to see. What people are concerned about is because California got on board with things like the Affordable Care Act and even went above and beyond in terms of its support for health care for individuals living in California, that if the feds suddenly go in a different direction, it's going to leave California hanging out there with its own bills without the federal subsidies. And so I think we're going to see these are very difficult conversations now that California is having. And it's not so much that the economy in California isn't doing well, because it's doing decently. I won't say it's extremely good, but it's doing decently. But it's this idea of, well, say if the feds go in a different direction, how's it going to impact California? Because California gets something like $96 billion in federal support. It has $122 or $123 billion general fund budget. And obviously, how do those things interplay in terms of providing services and supports for California citizens?
Isn't education guaranteed a certain level of funding?
Yes, we do have the Prop 98 funding guarantees are still apply, but those guarantees could also be changed by legislative action if a sufficient number of legislators with the governor's approval decide to suspend that, and then they'd put it on, say, a credit card, and they'd owe it for the future. But I think where the biggest concern is that we will not see additional growth in education. There may be more money redirected to help support those programs, say, in health and social services, maybe mental health programs, that the feds are no longer going to support. I also have a concern about the federal level because the president-elect has spoken of wanting to expand the charter school movement and increase the federal government's contribution there. We know the money going into education at the federal level isn't increasing, and I have grave concern that he's going to redirect or want to redirect the money currently going into, say, Title I programs or special education supports at the federal level might be redirected to charters, and I think that would be devastating.
Are there more school-age kids in California now? Is that a growth curve?
Actually, it's gone slightly down the last couple of years.
So status is kind of okay.
Yeah, it's right about 6.3 million students right now in the state of California.
So what is the biggest budget issue you're confronting? If it's not increasing enrollment.
No, in fact,
and less per kid.
Okay, the biggest problem that education is going to have and public services in general is frankly the pressure from the retirement programs for under PERS, Public Employees Retirement System, and that affects school classified support staff. And then you have the state teachers retirement system that supports certificated. Those investment portfolios have not grown the way the governing bodies of those institutions want them to grow. And so they are increasing the employer's obligation to support those retirement programs. We are talking about a huge increase. A couple of years ago, PERS, for example, adopted a scale that it was going to increase from 11.8% up to about 20% of a person's base salary for retirement. They have now bumped that up to 28% that an employer will have to contribute, and they've escalated the time frame by which they will get to that point. So just in the next 2 years, for example, every PERS member in education's cost of benefits for retirement will increase 5%. And those are tremendous cost increases if you're not getting a lot of new revenue from the state.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. Yeah, that's right. 3 minutes left. Yay.
How time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, yeah.
Or when you're
sucking it up.
The weather.
Yeah. Oh, boy. The weather conditions we're experiencing currently and this week, what is that? How do you deploy? What happens with the schools?
With schools? Well, you know, interestingly, yes, last week's cold front was particularly hurtful to some of our outlying districts. The Klamath Trinity district, which includes, of course, Willow Creek and Hoopaw and Orleans, completely shut down for several days. Parts of southern Humboldt did as well. Neyland Elementary, of course, did up on the ridge. So there were pockets. And, of course, the problem is not just the snowfall. It's in this mountainous area, you get the ice buildup on the roadway, and then you get some really treacherous conditions. We had difficulties getting from here to Del Norte. And I've mentioned in prior talk shops where the Humboldt County Office of Education has employees, staff that go up and actually serve students because of their specialized skills in Del Norte. My director of special education for Humboldt and Del Norte counties, my SELPA director, actually lives northeast of Crescent City, and she serves both, as I said, Del Norte and Humboldt, and she couldn't get down for multiple days just simply because of the pass issues and some of the washout issues there on that highway that we've talked about.
Well, I heard that even Klamath had cars on the side.
Absolutely did.
It's kind of interesting, that low and surrounded by the river.
Oh, for sure. And then she said to me, I hope it's okay if I don't come down. And I said, you know, I employ you for your services. I don't want you to risk your life, which is actually what we tell our people here, Brian. Obviously, we want to be out and about serving all around Humboldt County in terms of students and serving teachers. But we've told our people, never take your life in your own hands. If there's at all a question about the road conditions, stay here. It's not worth it. We'll make up the service at another time.
So do you still have weather days packed into the schedule?
Actually, most of the districts don't, because in recent years we haven't had a problem. Now all of a sudden we have had. So I think what you're going to have, for example, like Klamath Trinity, I think they're going to have an abbreviated spring break, because they're going to have to make up some instructional time.
Like the old days.
Like the old days.
Take President's Day on each end of the week. Yeah.
They just might.
Hey, well, you know, there's always that silver lining.
Absolutely. Well, listen, been good to see you, Brian, and I'm sorry you're under the weather. I hope the next time I see you next month, things will be much different for you.
And congrats on the conference, too.
Thank you much. It was.
See everybody tomorrow.